Okay, we're starting here by the two dots at the bottom of Nun Aleph Amud Bet. I'm Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Hamocher bayit lechaveiro, person who sells a house to his friend. Kevin shemasar lo mafteach, once he gives him over the key, kana. He acquires it. He now has full rights and ownership to the house. Where it says, echidami. What's this scenario here? Ibikaspo. We know then again that a house is real property. Real property from the Mishnayot to Kiddushin could be acquired through Kesef, Shtar, and Chazakah. So whether it's Kesef or Shtar, let him acquire it through the Kesef or the Shtar that he gave it. If it's a Chazaka, let him acquire it through the Chazaka. So then what is the Mafteach doing over here? How is it functioning? It says, Olam b'chazaka, the way he is acquiring the house is through a Chazaka. By the that he has to say to him, go and take possession of it. In order to give significance to the action that he does on the house, the grantor of the item, meaning the seller here, has to go tell him, take possession of it. And then when he says take possession of it, that action or that activity that he does at that point takes on the added significance of becoming a kinyan for him. So Gemara says in Baba Batra, the way that you do a kinyan chazoka is now v'gadar uparatz. Either he closes it up, locks it up, gadar, he puts up some fence, or paratz, he brings down some fence, but he does some minor adjustment to the field, and that creates the chazaka for ownership. Now, what the Gemara is saying is that it's not enough simply to do the chazaka has to be in a context of someone telling you to take possession of it. And once they tell you to take possession of it, then that chazaka works. So over here, you have a deficit, which is he's doing the chazaka, but he lacks the statement from the seller that says, like chazek ukenei. But giving over of the mafteach is the equivalent of saying, le chazek uknei. It compensates for that deficit in the lack of statement from the seller. You make it up by giving the mafteach, because the mafteach is the equivalent of saying, take possession of it when you hand the key to him. Not that that is the functional kinyan, it's just that it indicates that whatever you're doing is a kinyan because you have the key as well. When he hands over the key to him, it's the equivalent of saying, Lech Chazek Uknei. Now, this raises issues because the Gemara in other places has alternative views as to what that is. The one that you've seen before is the Gemara in Psachim and Avdalit. Gemara in Psachim and Avdalit says that whoever has the Mafteach is Chayav to do the Bedikah on the night of the 14th. In addition, if you give over the Mafteach, that's enough to start the Schirut, to start the rental, which makes it sound like the key itself can function as the mechanism for the chazaka or for the kinyan. Whereas over here, it sounds like the mafteach is just an ancillary prop to help the kinyan go through, but it itself is not the kinyan. So how do you reconcile that, first of all, with the Gemara in Psachim? In addition, the Rashbam says that from the Gemara in Chesgat Abatim, it says, Gabi nal v'gadar kol shu b'nechzei ager, d'nal haynu shekavam man'ol badelet. According to the Rashbam, na'al doesn't mean to lock it, but rather to put a lock in. It's the equivalent of changing the lock, so changing the keys. That is considered to be a kinyan, d'ave binyan. Because that's a binyan that's doing some real change in the item. Aval sagara delet b'nechzei ager, if you just close the door, ein zu chazaka. That's not a chazaka. Ela kemavriach arim nechzei chaveiro. If he's chasing away a lion from his friend's possessions. So there, when he closes the door, he's just preventing people from getting to the possessions. But that in itself is not a kinyan. Even though in the Gemara Psachim it says that Misirat Mafteach is sufficient, so here he makes the big distinction, the Rashbam, between whether there are two parties involved in the transaction or only a single party. When you're dealing with the property of the ger, which is now hefker, there's no one to grant you the kinyan. You are making the kinyan on the property without being granted those rights. So there is going to be a higher threshold for the type of kinyan you need, because there's no one doing the other half or compensating for you on the other half. It's simply you taking possession. And your taking possession has a higher threshold of what is called a kinyan. And that's where you require this change of the lock. To do some sort of binyan, and closing the door, locking it, is not enough. Whereas in the case of maskir or bdikat chametz, where there is a counterparty, there's someone who is granting you the rights to that house or that item. In that case, you can just have mesirat mafteach act or function as the kinyan, because you have two parties, and the other party compensates for the deficit of this lower form of kinyan, because they're granting it to you, they're handing it over to you. So that's the view of the Rashbam. And then the Balei Tosafot bring the Ri, who says, Bekasha the Ri. He says, I don't understand. The Hachamash Behejah, the Mesir Mateach, Lokani. That explanation of the Rashbam is very problematic. He explains the Gemara in Batra and the Gemara in Psachim. But he doesn't explain our Gemara over here. The Gemara in Bava Batra that says, now, that's a case where you need to change out the lock and do something significant, because there you're trying to make an acquisition on the Ger's property without being granted the right. In the case of Psachim, where the owner is giving it to you, or the landlord, the seller, is giving you the key, in that case, that is the kinyan. The key itself is the kinyan, because they are a part and parcel of giving it over. And so therefore, the key can function as the mechanism for kinyan. The problem is, as the Reed points out, that Argamar sounds nothing like that. Argamar says that the key cannot work as a kinyan. And so therefore, that explanation is very difficult, because it leaves out our Gemara. So the Balei Tosafot say that you can't take the Gemara in Psachim at face value, and that's what misled the Rashbam, because Dafka Gabi Chametz, who the Talui bin Sirat Mafteach, the Misha Mafteach Vedo Alav Livdok, because the Chametz is a unique scenario by which the giving over the Mafteach is the one who's Chayav in the Bdikat Chametz, Kevin Shehu Yachol Ikanes, but Zeabait Livdok, because he's the only one who has access to the house in order to do the Bdika. So it's a unique circumstance there, because whoever has the key has access. And so that's the only thing that matters with regards to Bdika. So it has nothing to do with the Kinyan, but it has to do with the fact that whoever has access is Chayav in Bdika. And so then he rejects the Rashbam's underlying assumption that you cannot make an acquisition through simply closing the door or locking the door, that you have to actually change out the lock, but simply locking it, he says, is sufficient. And that is not the same as Mavriach Ari, but rather it's an action that is significant in nature. Person who closes the door, doesn't barricade it, or doesn't let anybody into the house, it's clear here that he's exerting ownership, and he's exercising his right of ownership. So therefore, the Reed disagrees with the Rashbam and believes that, number one, you cannot make a kinyan simply through Mesirat Mafteach. Like our Gemara says over here, it only can compensate for the lack of Lech Chazek Uknei. The Gemara in Psachim is the exception to the rule. That's because of Bdika, you need access. And the Gemara in Bava Batra that says Na'al, that means to close the door, to lock the door. It doesn't mean to replace the locks like the Rashbam suggests. Rather simply to close the door or lock the door, and that's enough. That's more than Mesirat Mafteach. That's exercising your rights to block other people's access, and that's enough to demonstrate ownership. And that will be what the idea of Na'al is when it comes to a Chazakah. Now, Gemara says, Amar Reish Lakish, Mishum Rabbi Yanai. So this is the third memra of Amoraim that we have. In yesterday's daf, we had Amar Rabbi Elazar with my Mocher Bor. Today we had Rabbi Shimon ben Levi with regards to Mocher Bayit. And now we have the third one, which is Amar Reish Lakish, Mishum Rabbi Yanai, Mocher Eder Lechaveiro. Someone who sells a herd or flock to his friends. Kevin Shemasar Lo Mashkuchit Kana. Once he hands over the Mashkuchit, he is koneit. Hey chidami. Once again, what's the scenario here? Ibe mishicha. If he's being koneit through a kinyan mishicha, likne be mishicha. Then the kinyan mishicha should be sufficient. Ibe mesira. If he's using a kinyan mesira, likne be mesira. Then he should be able to acquire it through a mesira. The Gemara, the Mishnah and Kedushin brings both of these, machloka de Rashi and the Tosafot, as to which one is a better kinyan, whether mishicha or mesira is a better kinyan. So over here, when it says, if it's Meshicha, if it's Mesira, you could read it in a number of ways. You could read it simply, the Gemara is saying that certain animals require Mesira, certain animals require Meshicha, and so whatever needs Meshicha, we're talking about Meshicha, whatever requires Mesira, requires Mesira. Rashi here reads it as, well, Meshicha works only in certain locations, which is that if it is the location where there is joint ownership of the individuals, or the Tzidei Reshut HaRabim, those are places where Meshicha works. On the other hand, Mesira can overcome the lack of ownership. That means that in Reshut HaRabim, or Chatzer She'enu Shel Shnehem, places where Meshicha doesn't work, the Mesira can kick in. And so that's the nature of the point over here as well. If you do a Kinyan Meshicha, which is in places where you have ownership, and even in places where you don't have ownership, you do a Kinyan Mesira, that should work. Those Kinyanim should be sufficient. So why do you need the handing over the Mashkuchit? Where it says, Olam Meshicha, he's using a Kinyan Meshicha. The way Rashi describes the Kinyan Meshicha over here is that he is hitting the animal with a stick, driving the animal in order for it to move forward. Shekein Derech Behema Daka. That's the way that you do a Kinyan Meshicha on a Behema Daka, is that you drive the animal. Could be simply that he is moshech the animal. He pulls the animal towards him. That could also be the kinya mishicha. Rashi says that it's driving the animal. I think in distinction to the misirah, where you hand over the reins, this is something that's from behind rather than taking the reins or pulling the animal forward. Kinyan ba works everywhere, but it's the least likely of a kinyanim to be used. It's the most tedious and involved type of kinyan. Hagba, that's why it's so good. You have to pick up every item in order to make a kinyan on it. So even though it's possible by Behemoth Dako to do a kinyan Hagba, at least according to most of the opinions that we saw in Kiddushin, but nevertheless, it's so involved and so tedious that that's not what they're going to do. The normal forms of kinyanim and efficient ways to be konan eder, this is a large group of animals, is either to do a kinyan mishicha or a kinyan misira. So lo olam be mishicha, he used a kinyan mishicha, by the meimar le lech mishoch v'kenei. Again, the grantor of the right, the seller over here, has to tell him, go do a kinyan mishicha, and through that be konan. V'kevin shemasar lo mashkuchit, as soon as he hands him over to him the mashkuchit, command amalei lech mishoch v'kenei dami. That compensates for the lack of statement of lech mishoch v'kenei when he hands him the mashkuchit. Now the Gemara asks the question, my mashkuchit. What is this mashkuchit? Now, you can see underlying the word, or the shorish of the milah, is mashach. So it's something that draws the animals. So hachi targamo karkashto. So there are some translated as a karkashto, which is a bell. Some sort of instrument or bell, which helps to bring the animals. You ring the bell and all the animals come along. So that goes to your question about how you make a kinyan on a large number of items or animals, when you have to do a kinyan mishicha on each one of them. Well, if you can drive the animals, as Rashi is saying, by ringing the bell and they all come running, that would be a kinyan mishicha. Mesira, you can hand over the reins to all the animals at once to the owner. And that's why the Gemara in Kiddushin was also searching for an alternate way to do a kinyan, which is a kinyan agav. To do a kinyan agav, which would be another efficient way to be kone large numbers of animals. What the Gemara is saying is that this mashkuchit, similar to the two cases beforehand, compensates for the lack of lech mishoch ukene. When he hands over the mashkuchit, that helps. And what either the mashkuchit is a karkashta, is this bell. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Iza da'azla beresh idra. It is the goat that goes at the front of the flock. Kedadorish ha'uglila alei de Rav Chista. There was this Galilean that was doresh for Rav Chista. It sounds like he was the meturgaman of Rav Chista. And when Rav Chista said something, he added in this thought. And that's been quoted in his name now. Kadragiz raya al ana. When the shepherd gets angry at the flock, Avid the Nagda Samuta, he takes the leader and he blinds him. So this references to what we're calling over here the Meshachta. The Meshachta is one animal which is always at the front of the flock, or the front of the herd, and everybody follows him. So wherever he goes, everybody goes. So that animal is important because he's the equivalent of having a whistle or having some sort of instrument that brings the animals together. So when this animal leads, everybody follows. So now, if the shepherd is angry at the flock, what he does is he blinds that quote-unquote leader, that animal, because then the animal is not going to know where to go. He's going to walk into pitfalls and all sorts of things, and that's going to cause problems for the tzon. And the nimshal is Bnei Yisrael. When Hashem is angry at Bnei Yisrael or upset at Bnei Yisrael, he sends them bad leaders. He sends them leaders that are going to serve them right, meaning that they deserve what they're getting because they're getting poor leadership because of their behavior, and they're going to lead them down the wrong path. Now, that would be the idea of this mashkuchit, again, is that he handed him over that animal that leads the flock, and therefore now, once he has that one that leads the flock, that would drive the whole flock or be a kinyan mishicha for the whole flock together. Right now, the Mishnah says, Kisau arishon, if the first one covered the boar, these are where you have partners in the boar, ubasheni umatzao migula. And then the next one comes along and finds it uncovered. Velo kisao, and he doesn't cover it up. Asheni chayav. The second one is chayav here, because the Rishon did whatever was incumbent upon him, which is that he covered it when he was there. The fact that it got uncovered after the fact, he doesn't know about that. And regarding that, he's an ones. So the lack of knowledge puts him out of the picture. The only one left in the picture is the second partner who saw it and didn't bother to cover it. Rashi notes over here that you have the previous case is a case where the first guy left and the second guy is there, which is the case where the first guy had utilized it and then left it open for the second guy, and then the second guy doesn't cover it. Over there, we also said that the sheni is chayav because the rishon left the second guy using it. And so for that reason, the sheni there is chayav. And over here as well, the second guy is chayav until, and then we don't know, until when is the second guy chayav and the first guy not chayav, that the Gemara will discuss. If he covered it properly, and then, because of the cover collapsing or not working properly, a shor and chamor fall in there and die, patur. Then he is patur because he covered it properly. He did whatever he was obligated to do. He's discharged his responsibility. Now that they fell in, that's onus. That's not something that he could have controlled. The Gemara asks, how did they fall in if he covered it properly? Lo kiso kiraoi, if he does not cover it properly, v'nafal tocho shor chamor umet, chayav. A shor chamor fall in there and die, he is responsible for them. Nafal lefanav mikol kriya, if the animal falls forward head first into the boar because someone is excavating inside the boar, chayav, he is responsible. Chayav here is the bal habor is responsible, not the one doing the work, but the bal habor is the one who's responsible. Ne'acharav mikol kriya, if he falls backwards into the boar because of the noise of the excavating or the working, patur, then you are patur. Now Rashi over here discusses why the bal habor is chayav. So he writes two lishonot that he brings down that the bal habor is chayav because even though normally we would say about an animal, he should have looked where he was going, and the bal habor can claim innocence because he says the animal should have looked where he's going, he shouldn't have landed inside of the boar. Over here he doesn't have that claim, according to Rashi in the first lashon, because the noise of the excavating or working down below shocked the animal. Since it shocked the animal, you can't make a demand on him and should look where he's going when he was caught off guard and he was frightened by it. That's one explanation. The other explanation Rashi brings is, Lishna Achrina, is that the Koret Abor is Groma Ba'alma. The guy who's working or excavating down there, he was hired. The contractor that was hired by the owner of the boar, he didn't do anything directly that hurt the animal. The noise of his work caused the animal to be afraid and fall in. That's Groma. Groma Mizikin is Patur. That's why the Bal HaKriya, the one who's digging it, is Patur. The Bal HaBor is Afilu Achi Bal HaBor Chayav. Even though the Bal of the Kriya is Patur, the Bal HaBor is Chayav because of Rabbi Natan, which we're not going to see today, but in tomorrow's daf, that Rabbi Natan says that when there's joint liability, and one of the parties can't pay, then the other one takes on all the responsibility. So here, the kore, the digger, or the excavator, the contractor who's doing the work, is making the noise, which caused the animal to fall in, but he's patur because it's groma. So that leaves the full responsibility with the bal habur, and he's going to be responsible for the fact that damage happened or injury happened in this case. All right. Nafal toko shor vikelav vinishtabru. If a shor with its utensils, wherever it's carrying, fell in there and they broke, now, by a shor, which is a heavier, bigger animal and carries bigger loads, as well as the yoke that's on it, that's why it speaks about when it falls in with its kelav, vinishtabru, and they broke. Chamor vikelav, the chamor and its utensils, vinitkaru, and they got torn or ripped. Chayav ala beima, upatur ala kemim. He is responsible for the animal, whether it's injury or death to the animal, he's responsible for making restitution. As far as the kelim are concerned, he's not chayav because shor velo adam, chamor velo kelim, and in a boar you're patur mi kelim, and therefore he's patur for the kelim aspect. Now the chamor talks about ripping because there we spoke about the mardata a chamor. You talk about the throw that goes over the back of the donkey upon which you put the load or you wrap the load into. And so that's the kelim. That's why it's called ripping by the chamor and breaking by the shor. So now in both those instances, he's patur is chayav for the beima, patur al kelim. Nafal toko shor cheresh shote v'katan. If a shor that is seemingly it lacks certain capacities or understandings, then if it falls in chayav, you are responsible for that because there you can't make the claim the shor should have looked where he was going. He should have known better. He doesn't. This is a shor that doesn't have that capacity, and therefore you're responsible. Beino vat evido ama patur. If a young children fall into the boar, ben ovat, then the bal habor is patur. So even though they are ktanim, and you can't say that they should have looked where they were going, nevertheless, there's the gzeret hakatuv that says, shor velo adam, chamor velo kilim, so shor velo adam means that you're not chayav for adam, even for minors. Eved o ama patur. If an eved knani or a shivcha knanit fall in, you're also patur. You could have thought, or you might have thought over here, we just saw it in the previous Mishnayot, the fact that the Shifko Knanit is compared to a Chamarta Me'abarta. So then why don't you say the same thing by bor? That was what the Rishonim asked over there. Why is bor different in this case? And you see here that by the case of bor, we say that eved oma patur. Despite the fact that they have this tzad of monetary possession or ownership in them, nevertheless, they're treated for, like human beings with regards to a bor. Never if an eved kanani or shivcha kanani falls into a bor, the owner of the bor will be patur because of shor velo adam, chamor velo kelim. Now the Gemara asks the question, which we noted in the Mishnah, which is that the second guy is on the hook here. When does the first guy come back into the picture? The first guy passed by, covered it, or saw that it was covered. So as far as he's concerned, everything's fine. The second guy comes along and finds it either uncovered or he uncovered it. He is considered responsible for it. When does that responsibility go back to the Rishon? When does the Rishon again become a partner here in the responsibility? So Rishon Aremat Miftar Amar Rav B'Kadesh Yeda. Until he knows, Shmuel Amar B'Kadesh Yodiu. Until they tell him about it. Now, Rashi and Tosafot argue about the meaning of Kadesh Yeda versus Kadesh Yodiu. Rashi says Kadesh Yeda, Sheo Yivo Gamar Rishon Achar Kein V'Yireh Migulet. Sheyeda means that you know. Seeing is believing, and if you get there and you see it, that is what it means, Ashiyeda, until he shows up back at the same spot. On the other hand, Kadesh Yodiu is even if he didn't come and see it personally, but someone informed him about the issue, about the problem, that's enough to make him liable over here. So therefore, he's chayav with a lower threshold here. He doesn't have to actually see it. Even if he's told about it, it's enough. Even though Rashi brings here, Lashon Acher, Ad Kadesh Yodiu, Afilu Ba Vera'ahu, that even if he comes and sees it, it's not enough to make him chayav over here. He still needs somebody to come along and say, you are chayav, or if you don't fix this problem, we're going to confiscate your property, we're going to find your property. And so that's what it means, Kadesh Yodiu. It's not enough that he simply knows about it, he'd have to tell him and warn him about it. And Rashi says, Lashon Rishon Kasher, he likes the first Lashon better. The Balei HaTosafot, on the other hand, learned just the opposite way around. As opposed to Rashi, who says, Kadesh Yeda, it's a much higher level of knowledge because you saw it, versus Kadesh Yodiu, which is a kula. Tosafot says, V'Kadesh Yeda, Klomar, Shakol Yotze. Kadesh Yeda means that there are rumors circulating, or the information is circulating in the public in general, and the assumption is that you, like any other ordinary person, will know about that or get that information through the rumors. And that's V'Kadesh Yeda. Enough time that he would hear about it through the grapevine, like everybody else does. And then, Kadesh Yodiu is literally that they tell him in person that it's not just a rumor circulating, but they actually have made him aware of the fact that there is a problem. All right, so then Rabbi Yochanan brings a third opinion, which is Rabbi Yochanan Amar B'Kadesh Yodiu, V'Yiskor Po'alim, V'Yichrot Arazim, V'Yichasenu. Rabbi Yochanan says it's enough time that they can inform him, according to the Balei HaTosafot, which is a chumrah, that they actually have to inform him. It's not enough that he hears the rumors. According to Rashi, Kadesh Yodiu is, even if he didn't see it personally and they inform him about it, it's enough. Then what he has to do is, not only is that the time period that he has, he also has V'Yiskor Po'alim, he has to hire workers, V'Yichrot Arazim, and then he'll cut cedar, V'Yichasenu, and build a new cover for it. So we have to give him sufficient time to rectify the problem here. He just found out about it, now we have to give him enough time to rectify the problem. Now what's interesting here, according to Rabbi Yochanan Shita, is that when the first guy finds out about it, he's not only is he not responsible until he finds out about it, he's also, once he finds out about it, he has this delay or extra time to rectify the situation, which is to get the Arazim and to do all the work to actually fix the problem. And therefore, Rashi says over here that that only applies to the Rishon and not the Sheni. And Rashi explains why, because of the Sheni Shabbat v'nishtamesh bo, the second guy came and used it, lo yavinan shiura kulehai. We don't give him all that extra time to go cut the wood and get the contractor in and to build a good cover. He should have immediately put people there to guard it and to prevent any damage happening. Since he is directly aware of it, he sees it, and he knows where the problem is, he has now an added responsibility to ensure that nobody gets injured. That added responsibility means he should ask someone, hire someone to guard the area until he can build a proper cover that will go on top. On the other hand, for the Rishon, who's only getting the information second hand, it's being passed to him, or it's coming through a rumor mill, or he actually physically saw it according to Rashi, there we give him more time to deal with the situation, according to Rashi. I mean, he didn't have the sufficient time to take care of it, and we give him that leniency. But the second guy who was present and knew about it, he could both do something about it immediately, as well as take care of the long-term issues that he needs to handle here by putting someone there and then dealing at the same time with getting the new cover. The guy who finds out about it and he wasn't there and didn't know about it, we have to give him more time to deal with it because he can't get Shomrim over there necessarily. He's not present where the boar is. The Bali at Tosafot, on the other hand, say that when it comes to the Sheni and the Rishon, there's no difference. And that's what he says there. V'hu adin ha-sheni shon im lo shir zeh. Because it says we give him the same shir that the other guy has. Ela delo bina shir diuk shikfar yada. The only difference is you don't need to tell him about it because he already knows about it. He was present there. But the Bali Tosafot think that he also gets the amount of time it would take him to rectify the situation to build a new cover. He's granted that right to take care of it during that period of time. Whereas Rashi sees this uniquely for the Rishon who wasn't there, didn't know about it, but others who knew about it earlier on, they will not be granted the right to time in order to rectify the situation or put in a new cover. Right, he covered it properly, and then these animals end up inside of it, you are patur. If he covered it properly, underlying that assumption means that if it was proper, it shouldn't fall apart. If it falls apart, it wasn't so proper. So how did something end up inside the boar? It rotted from the inside. Could either mean because of the heat, the moisture of the boar, the hevel of the boar, it slowly ate away at the wood that was the covering above and rotted the wood to the point that it was weakened and collapsed. Or literally means that they have woodworking worms, some sort of pest that eats the wood and really rots the wood by eating it out internally and leaving you with a hollow piece of wood which will eventually collapse or break. And so the reason that it happened is because there was rotting that was going on. So now, in that case, it's not visible rotting. It's not something that he could have known about. And so when it happens, he's a complete onus. But this is a unique circumstance where he put it on properly. And the problem that arose over here was a problem that was unforeseen or was highly unlikely. And since it rotted from the internally and he couldn't see it or wasn't visible to him, he didn't know about the fact that it was rotting. All right, Ivai Lahu. Now we say, Kisau kisoi shechol amod bifnei shvarim, ven yechol amod bifnei gmalim. They cover with a cover that can withstand the weight or the flow of traffic of oxen, but ven yechol amod bifnei gmalim. But it's not strong enough to hold up or to be sufficient for camels to walk on it. Camels are roughly probably double the size of the shvarim. Va'atun gmalim varua. And then camels came to town and they were walking on it and they weakened it. Va'atu shvarim v'nafli bay, and then the shvarim come and fall into the boar. My, what's the din over here? It's Amrei echidami. What is the scenario? Give me the more details about the scenario. Idashchicha gemalim. If it's normal for camels to come to this town and to use this road, posheyahu. Then it's a posheya because she had to put a cover on that would have been sufficient for the camels. Or today the equivalent of a 18-wheeler. A tractor trailer, dump truck, something that's extremely heavy, the cover that you put on the manhole in the Rishut Rabim better be able to withstand those types of weights or those types of pressures. If camels are not frequenters of this area, anusu, then it's anus because it's an unforeseen item or an unforeseen circumstance. The case is when they come on occasion, they're not there all the time, they're not never there, but they come sometimes. Do we say because sometimes they come there, Pusheyahu, then he is a Pusheya di Bayale Asukeyadate. It's something that should have been within his mind or his perspective, and therefore he should have thought about the consequences of putting on a cover that could not withstand the walking of the Gmalim. Oh, Dilma, came into Hashta Miyadleka. Or maybe we say that since right now there are no camels in town, Anusu, then he's an Anus because there are no camels in town and therefore he doesn't have to worry about it currently. So Tashma, so let us see from our Mishnah. Kisau ki ra'oi, he covers the boar properly, v'nafalo tocho shor chamor, umeit patur. If the shor chamor fall in and die, he's patur. Hey chidami, what's the case? Ilem ki ra'oi the shvarim, uki ra'oi the gvalim. If you tell me this is the best cover you could put on there, it was sufficient for a shor, a gamal, anything you want to walk on it, agalot, wagons, anything you walked on there would have been fine. So then, hey chinafa, how did it ever end up inside the boar if everything was done right? Elalav ki ra'oi l'shva'im, velo ra'oi l'gmalim. Meaning that this is the deal. The case here in the Mishnah where it's covered properly is a case where it's covered properly for shvarim, but it's not covered properly for gmalim. The idish chichei gmalim amai patur. Again, if they're gmalim traversing that area all the time, then he can't be patur because he should have done something about it. Posheu is negligent if he doesn't take care of it. Idlosh chichei gmalim, if camels don't frequent this area, pshita anusu, then it's clear that he is an anus because he couldn't have anticipated or expected this to happen. Elalav, what's the scenario here in the Mishnah? The Achin leprakim. So they come sometimes. Va'atu gmalim veruwa. The gmalim came and weakened the cover. Va'atu shvarim v'naflu bay. Then the shvarim came and fell into it. V'ktani patur. And our Mishnah nevertheless says you are patur. So seemingly this is the case that we are asking about, or the question that we have. And through a process of elimination, the Gemara is saying that what is the scenario in our Mishnah? And that scenario, the Gemara matches up exactly with the scenario of the question that we are asking. And so our Mishnah says, Pator, Alma, came into Hashdaleka. Since right now the Gemalim are not there, Anusu, he is considered to be an Anus, even though it wouldn't have withstood the camels. Nevertheless, right now, it did withstand the animals, and it was sufficient for the animals that were crossing it. Since the animal is not present right now, the Gemalim are not present in town right now, he is considered to be an Anus, and he didn't foresee this or couldn't have anticipated it, and therefore he is Patur. Amre, lo, the Olam ki ra'oi l'shvarim k'roi l'gemalim. Gemara rejects that as being a proof to what the answer should be over here, and says rather it should be ra'oi, it's a cover that was good enough for a shore, good enough for a gemal. But kashalach, hecha naful, if that's the case, how did he fall down? The same answer that we gave before, it rotted from the inside. So the rotting from the inside caused the collapse of it, even though he covered it properly, he was able to withstand the pressures or the traffic of Rishut Rabim. The only problem is that it started to rot from the inside out, which we weren't privy to. That's why he is patur over here, because it's considered to be an ones. Tashma, lo kisau ki ra'oi. If he didn't cover it properly, this is the latter half of the Mishnah, the nafala tocho shor chamor mate, and then animals fall in there and die. Chayav, he's responsible. Hey chidomi, what's the scenario? Ilema lo kira'oi l'shvarim v'lo kira'oi l'gmalim. If you're going to tell me it was totally insufficient, it wasn't good enough to withstand the shvarim, the oxen, or the gmalim, pshita. Of course he's chayav, he's a complete posheya. Tzricha lememar de chayav, you have to tell me he's chayav if he's a posheya? El alav, what's the scenario in the seifa? Kira'oi l'shvarim v'lo kira'oi l'gmalim. It was good enough for shvarim, but not good enough for gmalim, and that's considered to be a deficit in the covering. So hey, chidami, again, what's the scenario? Yiddish chichi gmalim, if it's a case where gmalim come on a regular basis, posheyu, then he's negligent. Yiddish chichi gmalim, if they don't come on a frequent basis, or they almost never come, anusu, then he is an anus. Ella, lav da'ach in the prakim. They come on occasion. Vatu gmalim, varuhu. The gmalim came and weakened it. Vatu shvarim v'naflube. And the shvarim came and collapsed, or it fell out, and they fell into it. Biktani chayav, and you see from that part of the Mishnah that you are chayav. Alma came into Ach in the prakim, since they come on rare occasion, posheyuhu. The baile asuke adate, he's a poshe, he's negligent, because he should have thought of that scenario or that possibility. So now the Gemara is trying to be medayek out of the seifa, just the opposite. The seifa that which says chayav, that would be the case that we're asking about. Lolam kira'oi l'shvarim v'lo kira'oi l'gmalim. Gemara says, no. Eino chanami, we're talking about a case where it's ra'oi for shvarim and not ra'oi for gmalim. Ushchichei gmalim, and there's gmalim come on a regular basis. The kakashalacha posheyahu. Now you're going to tell me, okay, he's negligent. What's the question that he's chayav? You don't need a Mishnah to tell you that. I did not see reisha kisau kira'oi, because the case in the reisha was dafka kisau kira'oi. Nasiv seifa nami lo kisau kira'oi. Therefore, the seifa talks about a case that he didn't cover it properly. So the seifa, you can't be medayik anything out of the seifa, because the language is just a parallel structure to the first part of the Mishnah. So the fact that he's a posheya, and it's obvious that he's chayav, eino chanami. But we brought the case down because we wrote a case that is contrasted with the case of the reisha, and that's easier to remember, that's easier to memorize, and that is why it was brought over here for the literary style, not for the halacha. Igadamre, hanami vadai lo yibaylan. Some say that the question that we posed here, we wouldn't ask. Came into Achin the Prakim, Posheo. Since they come on a rare occasion, that's enough to make him negligent. Di baile la suke adate. Because he should have had in mind or considered that possibility, and therefore you are chayav. And you want to know what the question is that we had? This is the question. You put on a cover that could withstand the traffic or the passing of the oxen, but not that of gmalim. Ushchichi gmalim. And gmalim come there on a regular basis, which means you are negligent in not covering it. Nevertheless, the reason that everything went wrong was that it rotted on the inside, it broke down. His negligence was not the contributing factor to why it collapsed. Mahu, what's the din? Mir minan migo dahavi pusheya itzel gmalim avi pusheya nami leinyan hatzlaat. Do we say because he's a pusheya, because he didn't put a sufficient cover for the gmalim, that spreads to the entirety of the cover and makes him a posher, negligent for the hatla'ah as well? Or maybe you don't say that migo. Just because you're a posher for one part doesn't mean you're a posher for the other parts. So the Gemara says, Tashma. Again, we go back to our Mishnah. Here, we formulated a question slightly differently. The first question was, if it was sufficient for Shvarim and not sufficient for Gemalim, and then the Gemalim weakened it for the Shvarim, what's the din there? That was the first Ibailu that we were trying to solve. The Gemara brought a deal from the Reish of the Mishnah, the deal from the Seif of the Mishnah, and then the Gemara rejects those as proofs, the second or the Seif of the Mishnah, because it was just responding to the Reish of the Mishnah. And the Reish of the Mishnah is a case where it was Ra'ui the Shvarim and Ra'ui Gemalim, and how did it fall in there? It's because Itliya Mitocho. Now the second part here, or the Igad Amrei, says that you're right, you're going to be Chayav in all those cases. The question that we have is a case where he was Poshei Alegavei Gemalim, he was fine for the Shvarim, but in the end, the cover collapsed because it rotted. So what's the din there? Does the Pshia, the Gavei Gemalim, color or influence the way that we treat him because it was an Ones and the thing collapsed because it rotted? So that's the Gemara's question. Mi Aminan, do we say, Migo Davi Poshe Itzel Gemalim, since he's negligent by the Gemalim, Avi Poshe Nami Linyan Hatzlai, we assign that Pshia to the rotten top as well. O Dilma Lo Aminan Migo, or maybe don't extrapolate from one to the other. Tashmak, he so kiraoy again our Mishnah. If he covers it properly, even a fellow to Hosho Akamor made Patur. That's what we just saw before. The way that we explain that Mishnah is to say that it was rotting on the inside. Hey Chidomi, what's the scenario again? If the cover was sufficient for all types of animals, and that it rots from the inside, Pshita the Patur. It's clear that he is Patur. What could he have done? Covered it properly, did what he could. The invisible damage, the rotting of the worms, that's not something he could have foretold or even known about. Elalav, kira'u the shvarim below kira'u the gmalim. So it must be that the case here is a case where it's ra'u the shvarim, but not ra'u the gmalim. Ushchichi gmalim. And the gmalim frequent the area. And again, we said that we qualified it. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Bar Chana said to us that the case in the Mishnah is a case she'itliya, where it went bad or where it rotted. Biktani patur. And our Mishnah says about that scenario, you are patur. Alma lo amrin and migo. Tavi poshe liyan gmalim, avi poshe liyan atla. We don't say, or we don't extrapolate the pshia by the gmalim to the hatla, to the rotting. Right? Says, lo, you can't prove that. The case or the scenario is not the scenario that you're looking for, but rather, lo lam ki ra'oi the gmalim akroi le shvarim. It's a case where the cover is good enough to cover gmalim and shvarim. And then it rotted. So now you're saying, wait a minute, what's the chiddush in that part of the reisha? Because it rotted, so we don't hold him liable? What was he supposed to do? There was no visible damage. How was he supposed to know it? I would have thought that on a regular basis, he'd have to go over there and stomp on the cover to make sure that its integrity is still intact. Kamash Malon, we don't demand that of him. We don't demand people do these crazy things in order to ensure that there's no invisible damage that's there. Tashma, now again, the Gemara goes after the Seif of our Mishnah, tries to mean Dayak that the case is similar to what we're looking for. Lo kiso kiraoi v'nafalo tocho shor chamor umeit chayav. If he did not cover it properly, and then the animals fall in there, he's chayav, he's responsible for it. Hey Chidami, what's the case? Ilema lo kira'u the shvarim lo kira'u the gmalim. He put a completely insufficient cover on there. It's not good enough for a shore, not good enough for a gemal. Tzricha the meimer the chayav. You have to tell me that he's chayav. Of course he's chayav. Alav kira'u the shvarim lo kira'u the gmalim. The scenario must be a case where it is good enough to cover for the shvarim, but not good enough for the gmalim. So then, if the gmalim are readily found there, then he's a posheya. If the camels do not show up so often, are not on these roads on a frequent basis, then he's not nos. It's out of his control. He has no way to anticipate this scenario. It must be that the scenario that we're speaking about is, it's a case where the gemalim are frequently there, but it rotted from the inside. And nevertheless, our mission on the Sefer says you are chayav. Alma amrina and migo davi poshe leinyan gemalim, avi poshe leinyan tla. So therefore, we would uphold that side of the question, which is that if you're a posheya for gemalim, you're also a posheya for hatla, for the rotting of the item. Amrilo, the olam kiraoi the shvarim velo kiraoi the gemalim. The case where the cover is good enough for the oxen, but not good enough for the gemalim. Ushchichi gemalim, and the gemalim frequently attend or come through this area. Vatu gemalim varua, and sure enough, they came through and they weakened it because it wasn't strong enough. It wasn't supposed to be made for the gemalim. Vatu shvarim v'naflu bei, and then the shvarim come and fall into it. Udekakashalach pshita. Didn't you say before that this scenario is a pshita scenario? Why do you have to tell me if he's a poshea by the gemalim? Sure, I did nasiv reisha kisao keroi nasiv seifa nami lo kisao keroi. Since the reisha used that terminology, the seifa as a parallel structure used that terminology. Tashma nafol tocho shor cheresh shotev katan. If an animal fell in, who was any of these items? Cheresh shotev katan. I think what the gemara is out of there over here is the cheresh and the shotev aspects, where the animal is not of sufficient mind or ability to protect itself. Suma, if he was blind, umalech v'layla, or walking at night, chayav. The balabor is chayav in all these instances because there was no way for the animal to protect itself or to prevent the damage from happening. On the other hand, pikeach, umalech bayom, if it's a bright shore or a shore that understands, in addition to the malech bayom, it goes out during the daytime, patur, then you are patur. Because over there, the animal should have acted with more caution, or should have been careful not to fall into the boar. V'amai, neima, medahavi poshea le'in cheresh, havina poshea le'in pikeach. Let us say, because he's a poshea for the cheresh, he's a poshea because, by definition, he's negligent unless he fences it up or does something to protect the property. Since there was no way that he could have known it was there, therefore the balabor is chayav in that instance. Elalav shmei minei, lo amro migo, shma minei. From there you see, or from this statement you see that we don't say migo. Just because you're a poshea legabe gemalim doesn't infect your status vis-a-vis the cover, which is rotting on the inside. Now, here there are 2 points to be made quickly. One is, the Baalei Tosafot point out that this case of pikeach and cheresh is not similar to the case of the gemalim and shvarim. Over here by the pikeach and cheresh, the pikeach, you will never be a posheya on the gabe de pikeach. Your pshia, the gabe de cheresh, is a totally separate animal or separate situation in which you're considered to be a posheya. Yet the Gemara is comparing that to the case where you're a posheya, the gabe de gemalim, and then the shvarim fall in there because of the pshia, the gabe de gemalim. So how can you compare the cases? In one case, the pshia by the gemalim impacts on the cover, which then impacts on the shvarim. Whereas over here, the pikeach and cheresh, whether you're a posheya for the cheresh, has no bearing on the pikeach. And so Tosafot is troubled by the Gemara's connection between these 2 points. But then the bigger question is a shas principle that we have in the Gemara about Metzia and other places, which is a concept called tchilato b'pshia b'sofa bonus, where he begins to do something, and the beginning of his action or activity was something through negligence, and in the end, he violates it because of an ones, because of something that was out of his control. What is the din of tchilato b'shia v'sofa bonus? We actually paskin that tchilato b'shia v'sofa bonus is chayav. Yet our Gemara over here, and our Gemara seems to be a classic case of tchilato b'shia v'sofa bonus, yet our Gemara concludes over here that we don't say the migo. And that means that tchilato b'shia v'sofa bonus would be patur. How do you reconcile our Gemara here with the Shas principle of Tchilat Tov B'Shiyah V'Sofa Onis, as well as the Psak, which over here would be Patur, and over there by Tchilat Tov B'Shiyah V'Sofa Onis is Chayav? So the first answer that's brought by the Riva is that by Tchilat Tov B'Shiyah V'Sofa Onis, there has to be a direct correlation between the Pshiyah and the Onis. The Onis has to be a result of the Pshiyah. In our scenario over here, that's not the case, because the Pshiyah was the Gabe, the Gmalim, and the ones was the gabei the hatla'ah, that it rotted. the rotting of the cover has nothing to do with the pshia of the gmalim. So even though it's tchilato pshia and sofa bones, there's no correlation or connection between the tchilato pshia and sofa bones, and that's why it's not under the normal rubric of tchilato pshia and sofa bones. Others formulate that same idea just in the reverse, which is that if you're preventing the pshia would prevent the ones, then that's called tchilato pshia and sofa bones. But if you were able to prevent the pshia, and the onus would have still taken place, that's not called tchilato pshia v'sof onus. Over here, if he's able to prevent the pshia, the gabe the gmalim, that would have no impact, the gabe the rotting of the kisui. And so that's another way to formulate, or evidence, of the fact that there's no correlation between the pshia and the onus. The Meiri brings another possible answer, which is, we only say tchilato pshia v'sof onus, your chayav, is when the ones that's in the tchilato pshia and sofa beones is something that could have been anticipated. It's not a complete and utter, far-fetched, unusual, improbable type of ones. It's an ones that maybe if you had thought through all the issues, you would have been able to figure it out. And since it's something that could have been anticipated, it's still an ones, but because it could have been anticipated a little bit, then we call it tchilato pshia and sofa beones. But where the ones is so remote or so improbable, then we do not call it tchilato pshia v'sof bones. Then we call it the case of Migo over here, where we would not necessarily say that you are chayav. The Ravad says that the only time we say tchilato pshia v'sof bones is when the pshia and the ones relate to the same object itself. But we do not say tchilato pshia v'sof l'inyan echad to be mechayev from ones with davar acher, with something else. So the pshia and the onis have to relate to the same item or the same object, and we do not just extrapolate a pshia from one item to an onis by another item. And that's why our case here would not be tchilato pshia b'sof onis, because the pshia is for the gmalim, and the hatla'a is happening on the cover. Because the gmalim only come around at certain times of the year, and the rotting of the actual cover happens at a different time. So there is no correlation between the pshia of the gmalim and the ones of the cover rotting, because they don't happen at the same time or in a similar time frame. Similar to the case of the shor cheresh and the shor pikeach, where the pshia by the cheresh has no correlation to the e-pshia by the pikeach. And the Balamor suggests that, yes, this is a case of tchilato pshia b'sof ones, but nevertheless, it's not applicable over here, because Bor has a special dispensation or exemption because of the fact that he says that Bor Mishune Ho'el Upatar Bo Et HaKelim U'Kashem Shenishtana B'Zeh Liftor Nishtana B'Din Tchilato B'Shia B'Sof Onis. Just like there, it's different than normal cases of Mazik. And there is an exemption for Kelim and for Adam as well, which is not normal by any other Nezek. So too, it's made different here that even though it's Tchilato B'Shia B'Sof Onis, you also be patur. That should not be a surprise. The Raivin on his Asagot on the Rambam says that the answer to the question is that this sugya is according to the Shita that says tchilato b'shia v'sof b'ones is patur. But eno chanami, if you paskin tchilato b'shia v'sof b'ones is chayav, then you would not paskin aloha like our sugya over here. And for that reason, he argues on the Rambam's conclusions to bring our sugya to halacha, because he says that's only according to one who says tchilato b'shia v'sof b'ones is patur. I think that tchilato b'shia v'sof onis is chayav, and therefore that should color the outcome of our sugya, and we should actually paskin against the conclusion of our sugya. The Ri gives an additional answer in answering an additional question, the Gabay the Gemara, which is, the Gemara here tries to compare the case of pikeach and cheresh to the case of our scenario where it is poshel gmalim, and then it was hatla'a underlying it. And so therefore you would say Migo that he's a posher for the gmalim, he's also a posher for the hatla'a. And so too, by the fact that he is a posheya the gabeya shor cheresh, he should also be a posheya the gabeya shor pikeach. Tosfot says he doesn't see the connection or the parallel between the cases. In our case, the question was about pshia by the gmalim, which results in a cover that is no longer good for the shvarim. And so therefore his pshia impacts on the shvarim, who the cover was good enough for, but it still impacts on them. Another hand, by the case of pikeach and cheresh, the shor cheresh has nothing to do with the shor pikeach. even though he's a poshea, the gabe the shor cheresh, that has no impact or influence on the shor pikach whatsoever. So then, if there's no correlation between them, how can you compare the cases? So you can solve the problem in one of two ways, by changing the explanation for one of the two sides. So one possible answer is that he is also a poshea by the shor pikach, because at night, the shor pikach can't see, just like the shor cheresh is not aware all the time, and therefore he's also a poshea by the pikach, which we're trying to then extrapolate to the case of the ones by the pikach. Or you could change the other case and say, by the case of the pshia by the gmalim, that pshia doesn't affect the shvarim, the oxen, directly. And that, the Reis says, and this is how he answers that, why this is in tchileto pshia v'sofa b'ones, is because the scenario here is that when the camel walks on the cover, it collapses immediately. It's unable to withstand the weight of the gmal and collapses immediately. So therefore, as far as the shvarim are concerned, the ones is the fact that this cover is good enough for them. And even if the gmalim walked on the cover, that wouldn't have changed the dynamic for the shvarim, because it doesn't weaken the cover, but which now becomes problematic for the shvarim. But rather, as soon as the camel walks on it, it collapses entirely. So the gavei shvarim, the shia of the gmalim, has no impact on the shvarim whatsoever. If gmalim don't come, then the cover is good enough for the shvarim, and they're good. If the gamal comes, then the gamal is going to crush or break the cover, and it won't be there anymore. So the pshia is for the gamal and the gamal alone, and doesn't impact on the shor. The shor is an ones in the beginning, and an ones in the end. And then that would make it parallel to the case of shor cheresh and shor pikeach, where the pshia is totally disconnected from the ones that happened. So in creating a scenario that parallels the case of pikeach and cheresh to the case of gamal and shvarim, the Reed then also comes up with another answer as to why this is not tchilato b'shia v'sofa b'ones, because the b'shia of the gemalim has nothing to do with the shvarim. The shvarim are really an ones in the beginning and an ones in the end. And so our case is not a tchilato b'shia v'sofa b'ones, but rather a b'shia which has an ones that are running on parallel tracks, but have nothing to do with each other. You have the b'shia and the ones, and then one wants to know, can you connect between them? But this isn't your classic case of tchilato b'shia v'sofa b'ones. So those are different ways to deal with this problem, or to separate or segregate this case from the cases of Tchilato B'Shia V'Sofa Bonis. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots at the bottom of Nun Bet Amud Bet.